This is Maureen Kafkas, the Brain BS Coach, here to tell you about the episode today. In this episode, I speak with human design expert and Akashic record-keeping reader, Miriam Ansley. I kind of made up those titles for her, but she knows how to do a lot of stuff, so it's hard to narrow it down. What I know for sure is you're going to love the information she's going to share today. We talk about Akashic readings, why they're so helpful, how they helped me, how they've helped her, and some of the plans that she has for them moving forward in the future. If you are interested in calming your nervous system and creating one that can support you in success, this is going to be another affordable modality that you're going to want to learn about. So sit back, settle in for episode number 152 of the Brain BS podcast, Akashic Readings with Miriam Ansley. Do you want more out of your life, but not exactly sure what that might be? Are you longing for something, but can't quite put your finger on what it is? That is the universe speaking to you, and it is time to listen up. I'm your host, Maureen Kafkas, the Brain BS Coach. I created the Brain BS Podcast to help people define what success means to them and show them how to get it. I help you to let go of fear and doubt and prepare your nervous system for success. I show you how to understand your own energy and to trust yourself to make all the decisions. If you are ready to go inward and stop looking outside yourself for all the answers, this is the podcast for you. Now let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Brain BS Podcast. I have Miriam Ansley here today to chat with me, and we're going to try really hard to stay focused on one topic because we have a lot of similar interests and we have just been talking forever before we even started recording. So, but it's a lot of fun. So Miriam, why don't you introduce yourself and let the audience know what you want them to know about you?
So, well, of course, my name is Miriam Ansley, and I am here to talk about the Akashic Records. And what I really like people to know about me is that I'm just like you. I'm not any different. I am an intuitive, but I believe that all of us are intuitive and that all we need to do is get in touch with that intuitive part of ourselves. And when we do, it just opens up just this whole different world of being able to trust yourself and to be able to be guided by your own soul. And so that's who I am and what I'd like for you to know about me. So, but the Akashic Records, this is like an energetic blueprint that lives in this different dimension. So if you think about it, just kind of lives in the air, the space around us. It lives in our cells. It's everywhere. So this is information that is the energetic imprint of your soul journey. For as long as your soul has been in existence, these records have been accumulating. And so it's every thought, every action, every deed, every vibration that has come from your soul, and that is from your past and from your present. And what's really cool is that it also can represent your future, but your future is always an open book because there's multiple ways that your future can unfold. And so that's what the Akashic Records are. They've been spoken of in many of our religious texts. You'll see it. It's called the Book of Life. Mainly is what you'll see, and it's in the Bible, the Kabbalah, the Jewish Bible, and other texts as well. So this is something that's been around for as long as we know of.
So I'm really curious how you found out about it and what, because I've been doing a lot of work, and it's the first time I heard about it is when I saw you posting about it. So what led you to it? How did you become aware of it?
So it was a person that I was doing I went to for Reiki and she also did Akashic Records. And so I thought, well, I'll just try this out. Sounded like fun, right? And so I, signed up for an Akashic Record reading. And what was interesting, and I think it's important for people to know, is once I got inside with her, we did the prayer and I was in that space, I felt like I'd been there before. And so it's important for us to know that we've probably all been in there at one time or another, but that's how it happened. And then, of course, I fell in love with the energy, with the idea that I could tap into my past, my present, and even what's possible for my future. And I began the journey of learning how to read for myself. And then, of course, after that, I started reading for others.
Yeah, it's so cool. So I saw you posting about it, and I'm all about, especially in this series I'm doing, about all the different ways that you can reprogram your subconscious and unconscious programming, and to just feel better, to know yourself, just all of it, right? It's like all these different things that you can do that I don't think the majority of the public even knows are available to them, and they are affordable and they're like life-changing.
Yes. I mean, the Akashic Records have literally been life-changing for me. Absolutely and totally life-changing. And it is a way for you to actually get to know who you truly are. Because so many, we're walking around being who we thought we should, who we think we should be, or who we've been taught we should be, and all these shoulds. And it's that opportunity to get to meet who you really are. And then the other thing is that they guide you, they answer your questions, they help you with the next shift that you need to make on your journey. And that's so powerful.
Yeah. So I did a reading with Miriam, and she brought up a couple things that I wasn't expecting. But the one thing that I think really had a profound impact on me and my ability to move forward and really sell my coaching and my program is that you made me aware of one, there was like one little piece missing for me, I think, in all of it. And it just feels like it feels so complete now. And that was, you said that my inner child was relentless, that there was something that needed to be attended to, and that she was hiding behind a tree, is what you said. And it brought up different things for me of what that tree could represent in real life. But now, as I was sitting here listening to you and I was thinking back to that reading, I think that was just a part of me that's still hiding, the part of me that's still afraid of success, of really being seen and heard and really stepping into my personal power. And becoming aware of her made me realize how many people, because I've been diving very, very deep on this, how many people are walking around with unacknowledged trauma in their bodies? I mean, a lot of them, right?
Right. Because we always want it. We want to dismiss it. It's not as bad as something else, or it's not that bad, you know, or that was a long time ago, but it lives in your body.
Yeah. And I don't think also like we think that, well, I know, but I kind of worked through that. I already did the work on that. We actually, as humans, we have like this incredible timeline that is so unrealistic for everything that we want to achieve. It's like, hurry, hurry, hurry. Let's get past this so we can move on to the next thing. And this is work. Like, I'm sure I'll do another reading or whatever. Like, it's going to keep uncovering things my entire life. It's never going to be over.
No, because we're here. This is our school. This is our curriculum. We're going to continue learning. There's always going to be something else to come up for us. And that's the other thing I want you to notice. I told you during the reading is that we have the reading and we get one impression, and then you can listen to or think about the reading in a week or a month or 2 months, or I've even gone back to one that I had a year ago. And it's the most powerful, almost magical. I can't think of any better word for it. It's like you can go back to it and it'll flip something else up for you. That same reading will bring something else to the surface, because this literally is like the living part of your soul. It is just the record. It's the way your soul communicates. And so
I totally forgot that I have that reading to listen to again. So now I'm really excited. because I'm sure I'm going to get something else out of it that I didn't get the first time. But maybe you can explain, I don't know if you'll be able to or not, but maybe you can explain to the audience a little bit what it's like if they book a reading with you. What does it look like to them?
What it looks like is first we kind of talk about it. We come up with questions. We're going to go in there with some things that we really want to learn about, things we want to ask. And we go in and we're talking to, so in the Akasha, we have the lords of the records. And then we have the masters and the teachers and the loved ones. And these are just entities, spiritual entities that are assisting us and bringing in this information, right? So it's just information that we're channeling through a human. So we need that assistance. And so we're going to go in, we're going to do a prayer. And when we go into that space, you may or may not feel something. I think most people, if they just were relaxed, they'll begin to feel some type of energy around them. Most people can feel their aura tingling just a little bit. And then we're just going to start asking questions. We're going to start with a question. They'll channel through me and I'll speak it out loud for you. And then what will happen is we'll stop and I'll ask you, how does this resonate for you? Do you need any clarification or any further questions? And we're just going to walk through your questions that way. And it just gives you this opportunity to, we're really interacting with heavenly beings, right? You're interacting with heavenly beings. And then once we're finished, once you feel like you've gotten the answers that you're going to get. And so let me just stop for a second. If it's not advantageous for you to know at this point in your journey, you might not get all the answers that you want. If we're asking about things in the future, remember there's more than one pathway to that future. So you'll get kind of not as detailed answers, but we can also get very detailed answers. The other thing that can happen is that we can go back to a past lifetime. If there is a past lifetime that is important for you, and if you are a person who can receive that information, then we can step into a past lifetime that will help reveal something to you that will help you be able to heal and put that thing to rest.
Yeah, well, I have to interject here because that's what happened in ours, right?
Yes.
Wow. And just the way you presented it to me, I was just like, what? I just, you said it with such calm, like with the energy of the keepers, you were just like, she told me that in another lifetime, I had a child that drowned while I was watching her. That I turned away for a second. And when I looked back, she drowned, and that I could not forgive myself for that. And I couldn't trust myself since then. And when I heard that, it just really deeply, deeply resonated with me. And it made me think about my whole entire lifetime of working on this trust issue. And just now, when you said that, it's kind of swelled my heart with joy that the keepers thought I was ready to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like I was ready to hear it. And I'm not sure I would have been, you know, because as a woman who didn't have children, by the time I tried to have children, I was too old. And I tried doing, I had early menopause at 39. And then when I did try doing it, I did one round of in vitro and it felt very, very false to me. Like I was going through the motions. It didn't feel correct to me. So that might've been that part of me that was just like, oh, you shouldn't be a mom. You know, the part that didn't trust herself to be a mom. I just was never really driven briefly with my husband, because I fell in love and wanted to have family with him. But I've never been super driven by reproducing and having a child. So yeah, you have to think that that might have something to do with it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So because remember, they're called sanskaras. So these are scars or things that happened in our past lives that we were not able to resolve in that particular life. And so we bring them, this is our curriculum. I said, this is our school, right? We bring it in and we bring it in and with the intention of healing. And that's the beautiful thing about the Akasha, because they know where you are in your journey of working through and expanding your soul, right? And so when you're ready, they will give it to you. And when and it'll drop in, and it's there for you to now take and become aware of. And so often, especially with past life, when people have, you know, these past lives come in, or even when I do past life regressions on purpose, the healing is just, it's unbelievable, because so often there are things that we're struggling with in this lifetime and can't figure out why we can't resolve it. And once we understand that it came from another lifetime, it's like all of a sudden we can click things into place and begin to, doesn't mean it just automatically wipes away, but it creates that awareness. And now we realize, oh, so that came from another lifetime. It doesn't belong in this one. And so now we can actually begin to move forward so much easier.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me a little bit too of generational trauma, where you think that something's yours, but it's not really. It's your parents, or it's their parents, or it's from a different, you know, that. So that's why it's so important to go beyond conscious thinking.
It is.
Because the unconscious and subconscious is where, I mean, that's where all our problems are, and that's where all our solutions are, right? That's what that's our curriculum.
And that's where we store trauma, right? We store trauma in that area. And then, as we were talking about earlier, you know, you have, you know, what, 70 to 90,000 thoughts a day. 80% of those thoughts are in your subconscious and unconscious. And so those are not accessible in the same way that our conscious is. And when we're trying to only work in that 20%, we're ignoring a whole 80% of what's going on for us. The cool thing is as we begin to create awareness, then either we can pull the thought up, or we can recognize the pattern that is triggered by that thought, and we can start interrupting the patterns. And so,
So when I hear this, like, this analogy just came to mind. I'm going to try this. I'm not always the best with analogies, but I'm thinking about, we were talking before we came on this call about how I said I couldn't believe what my life was like before at 50 compared to 60, and how I didn't know how to turn on my Mac at my orientation for college online, which was a bold move for me. Given that I didn't even know how to do that, but all the things that you don't have access to if you don't use technology. And I was made aware of that when we just visited New York, our boarding pass, checking in, going to Fire Island. We had to buy the ferries on an app online. Everything is technology related. Now, could I get by in life? Yes, I did for 50 years without knowing how to use technology. It stressed me out and caused me a lot of angst, but I was getting by. So I could still technically live my life. But oh my God, now I know how to do technology. I have a podcast. I have an online business. I have this amazing life that is all centered around technology. So if I didn't do that, I would be just living a fraction of the life that's, you know, available to me. And that's what happens when you don't uncover your subconscious and unconscious programming. You are robbing yourself of, like, the potential for so much joy and satisfaction and all of it, right?
Yes, I love that analogy, by the way. That's
was
amazing.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was really good. Oh, yeah. So it's, yeah, that, and it's so true. And that's the thing, is when we are able to tap into this using the different, there's so many beautiful, beautiful modalities that can help you do this, right? And when we use these different modalities and begin to tap into that part of us, it's like we're opening ourselves up to a bigger world, right?
Oh, just expansion, like, right? It's major expansion.
So the technology, it opened yourself up, right? You expanded into a wider world. And that's exactly what happens when we do this with ourselves.
Yeah. And I just had this thought, which is really exciting. I'm like, I could expand more.
You
I'm going to. Like, I was just like, oh my God, like it could actually get even better than it is right now, which I can't even wrap my head around what that would look like because I feel so expanded right now. But that's how it works, right? You just keep doing the
You
work.
just keep doing it. You don't need to wrap your brain around it. What you want to do is just go, wow, yeah, I can expand more. And then you open yourself up to possibilities. And then the universe brings them to you, which is amazing.
It's really amazing because when you are in alignment and you keep doing the work every single day, the universe gives me something like you, right? I came across you in a post that I never even look at, and you came up, and then that's how I met you. And that's how it is with every single thing that I need, every single source of wisdom, every little kernel comes to me. And I don't know if it's like this for everyone else, but I feel like this is sort of my thing and the way I do things and how I approach. It's from all these tiny little things from all these different places that I figure out how to integrate into a pathway for somebody to be able to achieve the same thing that I have.
Right. Yes. Which is beautiful. Which is beautiful because there are so many people who are not living in the expansion and the joy and the happiness and the beauty that they were destined to live in this lifetime.
Yeah, and this is not woo audience. Okay,
No.
this is life. This is, we are only here. Well, I know maybe not. I was gonna say we're only here for one life, but our personalities are only here for one life. Our souls might be here for more than that, but you only have one life. You guys have to try doing one of these readings. Miriam is awesome. I did it with her. She was so thorough. You didn't rush me. You were thoughtful, you were considerate, you were over delivered for sure. So I can, without a hesitation, tell everybody that they should do a reading with you. And that's just like one of the things that you do. But it's a pretty cool thing. And we're gonna stay focused on that. But Mariam will be back to talk about some other things. But I want you to talk a little bit, anything else that you want to say about the readings and also about how you were talking about wanting to teach people how to do the readings for themselves.
Yeah, so yes, and that's really the big thing. So I think everyone, in my opinion, I think everyone should have a reading, whether it's me or with someone else, because there's people who read. I really encourage you to dip your toe into this and experience it, even if it feels woo to you. I want you just really give
Yeah.
it. And then the other thing is that once you have dipped your toe in, if it's something that you've really feel empowered by, then you can learn to read this for yourself. This is not something that you need to have someone that reads for you all the time. You can absolutely do that if that was what makes you feel comfortable, but you have the ability, just like I have the ability. This information is stored in your DNA. It's an interesting fact is 80% of your DNA is considered junk DNA. And it's not really junk. Nothing in you is junk. So all of this is stored actually in you and in everything around you. So this is accessible to everyone. And all it is learning how to go in, using the prayers, how to close it. And then the other part is just learning, and this is part of the journey, right? Is learning to trust that when you're there, that you're connected. And that you are actually receiving the information from your higher self, from that higher part of you, from your soul. And when you do this, when you step into this and you start doing it yourself, then when you have a question about your business, you can go in and ask. You can go in and go, all right, so these are the two things I'm looking at. What do you think would give me my most You know, what would be the most benefit for me and my clients? And you can actually go in and ask these questions. You can ask about relationships. You can ask about anything in your life. And they are willing to talk to you. They may not give you the answer that you always want, which is another way that you know it's definitely them and not you.
That's hilarious.
But you can do that. And after you really start going in more often, here's what you're going to recognize, Maureen, is you're going to recognize is that you've had this voice inside of you all of your life. And then you're going to find yourself when you're on your walks, when you're in your meditation, when you're sitting beside this beautiful stream or looking at the ocean, that you can begin to breathe and tap into this space and tap into the wisdom of the universe, the wisdom of your soul.
So how is it different than intuition?
It's different because this is more instructional instead of you asking questions from your intuition. It's where your intuition comes in to give you an idea or to suggest something to you. And it is, I'm not saying it, it's really very connected and very intertwined, but this is more instructional. I mean, literally, I can be sitting in meditation, and this recently happened. Actually, I've got a reel coming out about it, and I'm looking at this beautiful flower, and this voice just says to me, when you look at the flower, notice how many petals there are, and all the petals are a fractal. It's just like your life. And when you're learning a lesson, when you're learning something, it will repeat itself like a fractal over and over and over and over again. We've all had this experience where you keep having the same lesson. It keeps happening. You think, why does this keep happening to me? Right?
Yeah.
What happens is at the end, when you reach the center of the flower, it's when you have that realization. And you understand what you were supposed to learn, and you're able to look back at the flower, and it's beautiful. So all the things that you thought were so hard in the end are beautiful. That's the difference. That's the stuff you begin to receive.
Okay.
That's different.
Yeah, they seem kind of interconnected, but I do definitely have this very, I'm going to have to start paying attention to that because I have a very pragmatic little leader inside me. Who's very calm and very sure of what I should be doing. And I'm definitely tapping into her more now, where the intuition does kind of give me ideas and leads me to do things. I'm going to have to explore that a little bit more though. But I mean, you know, either way, right? Whatever it is,
that's whatever it is, we can call
tells
it
me where to go. Yeah. And
we
it's
can call it whatever we want.
Right. Yeah. And it's the way you feel in your body. It's a knowing.
It is. Yeah. It is beautiful. You can receive all these beautiful messages. And I learned through my own design that it's actually the Akasha. And I think we all have that connection. I think we all have the ability to tap in just so we start. And I go in with prayers all the time. Don't think that I do, but we can all go in. We can all go in and ask these questions. We can all receive this wisdom. We can all receive these beautiful messages. We just need to just say yes.
And we have to be open to receiving, right? And also, like, this makes me think of law of polarity. When we think our prayers aren't being answered because they don't look the way we think they should. It's like the same idea with the message from the keepers, right? It's like, no, pretty clear about what I said, and it's pretty clear you're not supposed to get money right now, or you're not supposed to get clients. So let's look at why they might be doing that for you and not to you, right? So it's a continuous reframing and a mind shift that's so much more available to you. To look at life in a way that works for you when you do this work on a regular basis, it becomes a habit.
It does become a habit. It does become a habit. That is so true because it is definitely in my life, it's just a habit. It's just something I do.
It is for me too. I don't usually get to, I'm not saying I never do because I'm married, but I don't usually get triggered by other people. Because husbands and wives can trigger each other. But I don't typically get too triggered by anybody else's behavior anymore. It's always, I just go inward if I do. Like it doesn't occur to me that they're the problem.
Right.
And so it really does, it becomes habitual. Then this is a different subject, but sometimes then people will accuse you of spiritual bypassing. They'll say that you're toxic positivity. And even in my design, Richard Keys said, or in the Gene Keys, that I could come across as aloof and uncaring because I don't get worked up over the stuff other people do. And it's true. It is like, so it's a constant balance between doing the work and being mindful of where we're all out and holding space, for all of us holding space for each other for the different places that we are on this journey, and then telling people about things like this.
And owning who you are, like that whole thing about the aloof is owning who you are, right?
Yeah.
And then once, then I have the same, I have that same key. So yeah, I have that same key. And I thought there was something wrong with me, right? Because I didn't get as emotional as other people, and that people could be emotional around me and I can remain in a completely neutral space. But what I realize is that it's a gift. And so if we own who we are and start seeing the gift in who we are, then it changes the story completely.
Well, I love what you just said, but I guess I didn't present myself correctly because I'm about one of the most emotional people you'll ever meet. And the second someone else starts crying, even if it's a dog, I'll start crying.
I
So
don't.
it wasn't that. I think it's more, it's actually interesting, but I think it's more like the political climate of the country is war. Like all these different horrible things that are going on. And even people who are spiritual leaders are talking about their fear that it could be the end of the world. And I'm just like, no, like I'm just not in that space at all. I'm like, no, you got to trust and you got to keep going. And you just have to, every single person, if we, whoever we can inspire to empower themselves with the way they're viewing everything. It will change the vibration of the planet. That's the
Well,
only way to change the vibration of the planet and for everybody to heal.
right, and that's exactly why we're here.
Yes. Hello. All right. Was there anything else that you want to say about the Akasha readings before we end it?
Certainly, if you would like to do a reading, I would love, 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 love to spend some time with you and share this beautiful, beautiful gift with you. And then if you think that you'd like to learn to read yourself, I am going to be offering that as well starting in September. And I'm really excited about that because I believe that offering or opening this gift, not offering, opening this gift up to other people is going to change their life. It will raise your vibration. I mean, it raises your vibration just being in the space and hearing and seeing. And the more that we do it, the more that we go in, the higher our vibration rises. And so then we find ourselves living in joy.
Yeah, I love
And
it. You just gave me the idea of gifting that to my stepdaughters, a
oh, great.
reading. Yeah, I love the idea of that. That's a great gift
It
to
is
give
a
to
great gift.
girlfriends, to parents, like to whoever. That it really is. Okay, so we're gonna put that information in the show notes so people can find you, so you can send me links, and then I'm gonna book a past life regression.
Oh, fun. Those are my faves.
I want to go on the record here. That I think, and my husband does too, that I was a salty sea captain off the East Coast in another lifetime. We're not gonna expand on that anymore today. I'm just telling you, we're pretty certain that that's true. And I have to find out. That's gonna be so fun to find out. And then we're gonna talk about the other things that we talked about. So Miriam will be coming back to talk about different things. And so will my friend Kathy. Bashanko, she was on here before to talk about intuitive human design, and I want her to come on. Those two will kind of be our resident
Oh, nice.
specialist, and then other people too. Well, yes. The more the merrier, right?
The more the merrier. I'm telling you, the more the merrier. Because here's what I know, is that what resonates with you is what you need to be good, what you need to go to. And I love that she's doing intuitive human design, because that's what I do as well. It's very intuitive for me. And so,
yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love all of it.
All of it. Yeah, just I'm for all of it as well. So I'm good.
Yeah. All right, audience. I know you learned something useful here today. I'll see you next episode. Thanks for being here and learning about Brain BS. I hope you enjoyed listening to the episode as much as I enjoyed creating it for you. If you did, please take a little time to do a quick review, give me 5 stars, and share it with everyone you know. If you're actually interested in being on the podcast yourself or have questions about it, you can find me in the Brain BS podcast community on Facebook. See you next time.